Going to college is supposed to prepare you for life, but many college graduates find themselves lost once they get that diploma. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. A new course at the University of Iowa is designed to help students figure out what they want and need to get out of their college years. It's called Life Design, Building Your Future. I'll talk with David Gould, the creator of the course, about the lessons he tries to teach his students and how he guides them as they chart a course for the future. I'll also talk with Phil Johnson, he's a small business owner, about how he found his calling and what he can teach young people who are finding their way. And two students from the course will also be here to talk about what they've learned so far. We'd also like to hear from you. How did you find your calling? What do you wish you'd known when you were first starting out? Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. What do you want to do with your life? That's a question that many of us struggle with, and some of us never quite answer. It's a question that's particularly pressing for college students who are trying to figure out what they need to do to prepare for their future. There's a new course at the University of Iowa that's designed to help students figure out what they want and need to get out of their college years. It's called Life Design, Building Your Future. David Gould is academic coordinator of the Interdepartmental Studies Program at the University of Iowa. He created and teaches the course, and later on this hour we'll be joined by one of his guest speakers and two of his students. We'd also like to hear from you. How did you figure out what you wanted to do with your life? How did you find your calling? What kinds of steps did you take along the way? Or maybe you haven't found your calling yet and you're still looking. We'd love to hear about your struggle. Or maybe you'd like to tell us what you wish you'd known when you were 18 years old, if you could talk to that former self. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. David, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
What gave you the idea to create this course?
Well, it came actually out of a conversation with the associate dean in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences about a year ago in December. She asked me to go to coffee. We sat there, and she really discussed her real concern for students at the university, the university's mission to try and touch and reach as many of these students as possible. Retention has obviously been a buzzword around campus for some time now, and that certainly entered into some of her thinking. And she essentially said that she'd like all of us to find a way that we could reach students in, I guess, more a little bit more personal nature than we have been, and challenged me to think of some ways that I could contribute. I love to teach, and I really do enjoy interaction with students. And so that, to me, was kind of the first place I was drawn to. And As you mentioned, I oversee the Interdepartmental Studies Program. And in the Interdepartmental Studies Program, I see two very different types of students that often come through my door. One is a type of student that actually is able to create their own majors. That's what the Interdepartmental Studies Program does in part. And so these are students that are coming with a passion to create something that has not existed up to this point as a traditional major at the University of Iowa, and they, again, have a real direction. But then I also have another side of the students, a student that really has been wandering here through the university for a couple of years, really don't know why they're here. I think intellectually, students know from the time they're kindergarten age, they're directed to come to college. They intellectually know that the outcomes of them being in an institution like this are going to be much better with a college degree graduate than going into the real world than those that don't. But I think it's that more emotional equation of sitting in a classroom, emotionally trying to say, how does this connect to my life? Is this what I want to do? Am I going to be happy? And that's where the problems start to come. And I thought, you know, if we could create something that begins to address that second issue, connecting students to what they love to do, then maybe this place could be a lot more valuable.
I know this is not a new problem because I know people who struggled with it when I was in college. I know my parents knew people who struggled with it when they were in college. But do you think that this is a problem that has grown over time, that people have a harder time finding that direction now?
Oh, I think the environment has changed. I mean, if you look in the 1960s, you could come out with a college degree. Could be in philosophy, could be in English. You were a college grad. And if you didn't find a job, you know, kind of shame on you. If you didn't like that job, you could find another one. You could kind of grow into those jobs. They saw you as a valuable thing. There were jobs available. Our students today have a lot of different difficulties that I didn't even have when, I mean, I'm 51 years old. I didn't graduate even in the 60s. I graduated in the early 80s. But they have a lot of issues that I didn't even have to deal with. Most of the students that are sitting in my classroom are students that are getting huge debt. They're often working, you know, one, maybe two jobs, you know, while they're going to school. They feel an enormous amount of pressure. They listen to the news. They've heard about the, you know, the economic collapse, the loss of jobs, the dire economic marketplace that they're going to be entering. And their parents know that. And so you put that all together, there's a lot of pressure on them to really do this and do this right. And that often leads them into thinking of extrinsic, you know, rationale, trying to throw a dart at this particular job than really using the University of Iowa as a laboratory to explore. The other thing is that students, when they come out of school and graduate, while, yes, that college degree is huge in the outcome, without it, they're not even through hoop one in for many jobs, it truly doesn't do anything to get you the job. How you make that first step is a big one, and they realize that as well. So there's a host of pressures and environmental, cultural kind of things that are going on in these students' lives that, yeah, I believe are much different.
When we talk about finding direction or finding a calling, that sounds like something that needs to come from within. It's something that you carry inside yourself, even though you don't know maybe what it is. How did you go about designing a class to help students figure out what was going on inside of them?
Well, the class is designed kind of, I would say, in three parts. I know that students come there probably, especially since it's a brand new course, with really no idea of why they're there. An advisor maybe told them they should. They don't know what their major is. They potentially, you know, need one semester hour to be a full-time student. I mean, there's a host of reasons why they're there, probably least of which because they really know what it's the class is going to do and what it's all about. I try to address that right away. I look at the nature of what the job market is, what careers are, but I try to lead them toward the idea that the better bet, as opposed to extrinsically trying to target a job in a world that's changing, quite frankly, in a marketplace where a lot of these jobs that students are targeting could possibly not even be there in 5, 6, 7 years, that the much better bet is on the notion of following your intrinsic nature, finding your passion. We go from that to literally looking at what makes our lives happy, which I think has a lot to do with how you not only shape – I mean, a job is certainly not your entire life. So, you know, how you shape the things around that. And then we also look to the notion of meaning and purpose. What we know – and there's actually been a lot of research done on happiness. What we know is that things like money – material things have really no lasting value when it comes to our life's happiness. I say that with a little qualification because I say to a point, if you go to bed at night and you're cold, if you're stressed about paying your bills, if you're worried that you'll keep a roof over your head and food in your belly, then absolutely I infuse you with some money that takes away those stresses and those concerns. You certainly will be happier. But after a point, it really has diminishing returns. And what we know is that what makes people really happy is those things in life that their passions, their callings, the things that they get lost in doing, that does have measurable happiness. And then when you take that and use it towards a higher calling, you use it to kind of that passion, that thing you love in the bigger world, that truly is what makes life rich and worthwhile. And so if a student is going to be making some decisions and some calculations going into a marketplace, I would rather bet on that student who is following something that they're passionate about, something that they get lost in, than the student that is doing something just on a very analytical, practical, extrinsic reason.
How do you help a student find what they are passionate about?
That's a real good question because for a lot of students, I thought the initial problem would be giving them the courage to follow what their passion was. It's been a big surprise to me to see a lot of students that when you ask them that question, what their passion is, they say they don't know. I think my answer that I've come up with to answer that to a student is, I mean, if you think of yourself, how do you know that you like chocolate cake and you hate broccoli? Well, at one moment you took a piece of chocolate cake, you ate it, and you thought, my gosh, this is heavenly. And you ate a piece of broccoli, and of course I'm not knocking broccoli, but you take broccoli and you say, oh my gosh, that's horrible, never again. I think to a degree that's how you find your passions. You need to be out there trying and sampling things. And see, that's where the University of Iowa, but universities in general, can really serve these students. Because as opposed to it being this immediate bridge from higher education to a job, it can be this wonderful laboratory. It can be a place, I mentioned to you, my son for the past 2 years has been the general manager of a radio station. You can work for a daily newspaper. You can dance for kids with cancer. You can start clubs of your own. You can be involved in all student government, all kinds of things. And those are outside of the actual walls of the classrooms that allow students to try. And it's a window in their life that they'll never have again. An international community where they can meet people from around the world, world-class mentors that they can walk into their office hours and sit and talk to them. I mean, that's what this laboratory called higher education can truly be at its best.
Elise is on the line in Iowa City. Hello, Elise.
Hi. Hello. I'm just calling today with a little bit of observations from my own experience in higher education.
Okay, what would you like to share?
Well, I think that our coursework for students is so focused on the disciplines and discipline-specific content and courses that it's easy to lose sight of the types of skills we actually use in the real world. And those skills tend to revolve around investigation, analysis of what we found, and then communicating with other people. And those three big areas are transferable in almost any job. And so for students in higher education, if they know that they're limited in some area for investigation, they might want to think about taking more statistics courses. If they know that they're limited in their writing or communication abilities, they may want to think about how they can bolster those areas. And in approaching their higher education as a way to develop a strong skill set, they may feel a little bit less frightened by, I have to decide right now what I'm going to do, and it's going to lock me in for the rest of my life.
Elise, thanks for your call. David, how do you respond to that? Do you work on those other life skills in the class, communicating and being able to dig into something and investigate?
I agree with everything that she says. I mean, probably the skill that has served me the best in my adult life, my professional life, is the ability to express myself and write. If you look at the kind of things a 21st century student will need, and much of the research that's coming out, it is things like emotional intelligence, because we know that we're going to be working in groups. It's not the Lone Ranger anymore, but it's the ability to work with others. It's a global understanding, because we live in a global world, so the understanding of culture is important. It's the ability to communicate and to be able to. And it's the ability to put pieces together from across disciplines.
Yeah, we'll talk more about how to acquire some of those skills in a moment. You're listening to Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today I'm talking with David Gould. He is the creator of a course at the University of Iowa called Life Design, Building Your Future. And we're talking today about the challenge of helping college students figure out what they really need to get out of their college years and to help them find their callings in life. We'd love to hear your input as well at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And David, one of the things about your class, one of the things that you do in your class is that you have guest lecturers come in. And in just a moment, we're going to talk to one of those guest lecturers. But tell me how that works.
Well, I mean, I want the course to truly at its base be inspiring. And while I hope that a few of the things I say may resonate with the students, I believe there's a host of people around me that each one has a wonderful message to share. And so during the course of the class, I bring in, yeah, you're right, a lot of guest speakers. I brought in Andy Stoll, who it was a student body president who chose to take upon graduation, a four-year trip around the world. I brought in a Nate Staniforth, a magician, who came here really loving magic and found a way to make that happen in his life. We had Tony Shea, the CEO of Zappos, that came through to visit with my students. Mitch Kelly, a professor here at the university that hitchhiked from Dubuque with an 18 ACT score and ended up being one of the top university professors on campus. So yeah, it's been a collection of people that inspire me that I hope will share and inspire the students.
And one of those guest speakers was Phil Johnson. He's the owner of Phil John's Strength and Conditioning Sport Performance Training Center in Iowa City. He's here with us. But before I talk to Phil, David, why did you invite Phil to your class?
Well, Phil is one of my favorite people in Iowa City. I had Phil as a TA, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed and appreciated him, but how much the students did. Phil has, as you'll see in just a second, a real passionate, vibrant personality, and truly practices the things that I hope my students will believe in and will follow themselves. An intrinsic motivation, a love of what he's doing, a love for people, and he's also a success story. A guy who basically started his gym from a garage, and my students I think can relate to him and can see somebody who truly had that kind of can-do kind of attitude. And did it for all the right reasons and all the right ways.
All right. And I should also mention that you hold a lecturer position in the Leisure Studies Department. I'm guessing that's where the two of you met.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my funny story about Phil is Phil is the first TA that actually lectured in class as a TA. And he came to me and told me he really had such a passion for what we were studying that he wanted to share some of his ideas with the students. And it was not only a lot of fun, but I got a kick out of it. Actually, the students loved him. They filmed him. I mean, it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
All right, Phil. So tell us a little bit about yourself. When you were in college, what did you think you were going to do?
I think for a while knew I was going to be a strength and conditioning coach. I had kind of a career path planned out, mapped out. Upon graduation spending a few years at the collegiate level as a strength and conditioning coach, I felt like a piece of the puzzle was missing, I guess you could say. And I came back to Iowa City, enrolled in graduate school, and that's when I became a TA for Dave. And I hope the listeners can sense the smile on my face just from hearing Dave speak on the radio. And, you know, it's the passion, you know. It's not just the subject matter of the course that he teaches, but it's the way it's delivered. And it's fun for me just to be here and to hear Dave, talk about the things that he's passionate about. You know, it really brings me back to that time when I sat there in his course and I was, you know, just truly motivated by, the content. It's a different subject matter that you're going to get from any other type of class you'll take in the collegiate, world. And so if there are any students out there, if there are any parents of students out there, I highly encourage you to try to find Dave and enroll in his course because it will truly change your life.
So it sounds like you already kind of knew what you wanted to be when you were in school. So you were one of those lucky people who came into college with an idea of where you wanted to go.
I did.
When you graduated, how did you try to set that in motion?
As an undergrad, was volunteering as an intern. I worked with the Hawkeye Football Strength and Conditioning Program, and that was an extremely valuable experience. And I think I knew instantly that, okay, I'm passionate about this. I love doing this. This is what I wanted to do. Really that piece of the puzzle that I found when I met Dave and began teaching for him, it was the permission to really enjoy what you do. You know, and I would probably even describe it this way. I'd say it's the permission to be able to play, you know, and to go to work and just truly enjoy what you do and not fall into that cultural norm of believing that as you grow older, as you become an adult, that, you have to lose that intrinsic love and passion for life and that it's okay, to continue to, remain a full lifetime player, in a way to describe it.
When you come to the class to talk to the students, what do you tell them?
The one time I came into today's class, I think I talk a little bit about you know, the business and how I started it and my background and you know, how I got to where I am. And then you know, really what I talk about is I really emphasize to them, you know, college is a unique time in your life where you you have a lot of opportunities to go out and seek out people who can you know, help you figure out what your passions are. So, you know, as you graduate and you move on, I think people are less, it becomes more difficult to go out and ask questions and to kind of probe people. But as a college student, it's expected. So, you know, get out there and volunteer, get out there and shadow people and find out, you know, do I really love this career, or is it just something I've, you know, had in the back of my mind for a long time without really, you know, getting involved and knowing what it's truly about?
Do you feel like when you were in college, you were able to fully take advantage of all of those opportunities?
Absolutely. And that's probably one of the smartest things, you know, looking back, you know, a few years removed now. You know, it's probably one of the best things that I ever did was get out there and volunteer and find people, you know, who are truly passionate about, you know, their careers and learn from them. And I think that's a natural progression that people go through in life. Once we're, you know, they're out there and they've experienced success, they want to pay that forward, you know, to young people. And so, you know, take advantage. That's you know, my message.
We'd love to hear how you found your calling in life, or maybe that's a question you're still struggling with. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we've got Mark on the line in Des Moines. Mark, how did you figure out what you wanted to do with your life?
Hey, good morning. Well, a long time ago, back just out of junior college, two-year junior college, I was headed in a direction I wasn't really passionate about it all. And I kind of took some advice from First World Nations, and I went on a vision quest. And, you know, that vision quest taught me a lot. And one of the things was it helped me find my passion. And, you know, and my passion was to do things that help the world and help the critters on the planet. And so I've been an environmental scientist for 30 years, and that came from that. And I've, you know, I haven't probably made as much money as my friends that went into law and medicine, but every morning when I've got up, it's been real, very rewarding, and I've been lucky to be able to work in my passion. I think very few people do, and I think it's unfortunate. I think it hurts productivity, and I think we'd all be a lot better off if this professor's courses could touch more people.
Mark, so when you decided that you were going to go on a vision quest and set off into the woods, how did you do that?
Well, I actually literally did it, but I also did a little quest with 3 years in the military. So that allowed me to grow quite a little bit in terms of maturing and to travel a lot. I traveled to several different continents and had a lot of met a lot of new people and people from different areas on the planet, and I think that helped formulate, you know, my passion for what I wanted to do with my life.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mark brings up something very interesting in talking about the time that he spent in the military, and it's a question that I think a lot of people struggle with. Are 18-year-olds really ready to make a decision about what they want to do with the rest of their lives?
I'm not sure I am at 51 either, in the sense that it's a changing thing. You know, we know from the U.S. Department of Labor that people will change careers, not just jobs, but careers, three times in their life. About 75% of our students will change majors while they're here at the university. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I think of myself back at 21. And if I've learned anything, when I think of success, I see it as three things. I don't know anyone who's been successful that hasn't worked very hard. I don't know anyone who's been successful that hasn't had some kind of aptitude or love or passion for what they're doing. And then the third ingredient is destiny. It's fate. It's luck. It's kind of the river that takes you through life. If you would have told me at 21, a guy who at 18 didn't even want to go to college, that I would be spending my adult life actually teaching at one, I would have said you're crazy. I was a double major in art and music. I don't paint anymore. I play irregularly. But what I do is I make documentary films. Now, if I look at myself and connect those lines between 21 and 51, if that 30 years, I absolutely still see in myself that 21-year-old. The roots of what I cared about, the things that excited me, the passions are all still there. But where the river took me is very different. And I think that's how we need to look at our lives. We follow our passions. We work hard and get lost in them. And then life will take us to places. And that's what makes it fun.
There is a lot of pressure on students to go to college, to get out in 4 years or 5 years or 6 years, but to go and follow this trajectory. Have you ever sat down with a student and said, you know, maybe you need to take some time right now and not be here?
I haven't. And it doesn't mean that I don't think that's not a logical option for some students. But most of the students I see, they want to be here. It's just a more of a discussion of how to best use this place. If you think of it, I actually calculated it out. From the time you step foot on the University of Iowa campus, if we're going with the 4 years, it's 2 million minutes. 2 million minutes of this wonderful opportunity in what I think is a magical place. And so I guess my belief, and I guess I wouldn't be here teaching at the university if I didn't feel this way, is I believe that this is a place that people could discover all kinds of things. So if you're here in this kind of magical kingdom of all kinds of disciplines and ideas and thoughts and creative notions, then if you haven't found something that really excites you, then that's what we need to do. Yo-Yo Ma, they used to say when he got the cello, they used to say that, oh my gosh, when they put that cello in Yo-Yo Ma's hands, he found his passion. Well, I think that that's only partly true. I think if Yo-Yo Ma had never found a cello, he would have found something else. He's a passionate person. And so when I see these young people, what I want to do is I want to help them find passion for life. And then this becomes a playground.
When I think about that question of what I wish I'd been able to tell myself at 18, the big answer is that I had more time than I thought that I had. I was one of those people who was in a big hurry to get to the end of college. I graduated early, and I wish I'd taken more time. Do you try to pass that on to students, that not only do they have time in college, but life is long and they will have opportunities to make changes?
Absolutely. We see the trajectory in our culture as everything is linear. It's one step after the other. You know, you go to high school and it's just a given. You're going to immediately move to college. And then when you get out of college, you immediately have to find that job and that career. And you get married and you have kids and a picket fence and a minivan. And you work away. When you get to retirement at the top, well, we're a little fuzzy on what happens then. But the rest of it is a progression. And if you're at that age coming out of college and you don't know what you want to do, that connection between college and job, our culture makes us feel very lost, and it makes us feel kind of like there's something wrong with us, when maybe that year or two of discovery, the big trajectory of things is really nothing.
Max is on the line in Windsor Heights. Hello, Max.
Hi. Let me take you off speakerphone.
Oh, good.
Yes. I went to college, gosh, for 11, 12 years. I have two masters, a master's in social work, a master's in psychology, and a bachelor's in accounting and a bachelor's in psychology too. My first degree was in accounting, and I was the top student in my program, did very, very well, very skilled, liked the courses, liked the teachers, was excited about the job prospects. And then I kind of went from job to job, never really made that much money over a 7-year period. I took an interest inventory called the Strong Campbell interest inventory. It showed accountant as one of my lowest scores, indicating that I really just didn't fit in that profession, even though I was good at it, and that I would be happier as, say, a social worker, which I am now, and I love my work. I've had maybe 4 different social work jobs, and out of those 4, 3 of them I would do for free. But the accounting has always been something, you know, I seem to have fallen back into it a few times, but not cared for it. And I think, and the research shows that test is highly predictive of whether people will like the work that they do. They compare your interests to people in different professions to see if you like to do the same things they like to do. It also can be helpful in retirement to pick hobbies you might be interested in, which I became an amateur photographer from that exam, and also what sort of people you get along with better.
Well, Max, thank you so much for sharing.
Yes. And I hope they look into that test, because they have spent tens of millions of dollars perfecting it over the years.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Max. Dave, do you use any of these aptitude tests or point your students in that kind of direction ever?
I know the Career Center does, and I certainly I think whatever works for you is terrific. I'm probably a little bit more organic. I'm a little bit more kind of getting out there and meeting people and trying new things that the university has. But you know, whatever helps you find that direction is to me should be applauded.
All right. Well, Phil, as a parting shot here before we let you go, we're going to bring on a couple of students in a moment. If there was one thing that you could share with the students in the class that they would remember, what is it that you'd want them to know?
Yeah. Dream big, follow your passion, as a student, take advantage. Go out there and volunteer. Become involved with your community, shadow people, ask a lot of questions. I mean, you can't ever ask any wrong questions when you're young, and so, do so.
All right. Phil Johnson is the owner of Phil John Strength and Conditioning Sport Performance Training Center in Iowa City. He's also been a guest lecturer in the program that we're talking about today, the course called Life Design, Building Your Future at the University of Iowa. David Gould is the creator of that course and the teacher. He's also academic coordinator of the Interdepartmental Studies Program at the University of Iowa. And you're welcome to join our conversation as well. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, my guest is David Gould. He is academic coordinator of the Interdepartmental Studies Program at the University of Iowa. He's also the creator of a class called Life Design, Building Your Future, designed to help college students figure out what they really want to do with their lives and how they can use their college experience to get there. And also joining us right now are two of Dave's students. And David, why don't you tell us why you selected these students to come along with you today? So tell us a little bit about each one of them and why you decided that they should come here.
Yeah, I truly love all my students, and so it wasn't necessarily pulling two above the others. But Alex and Ben are very special young people and very representative of the type of people that I have in my class. Why Alex and Ben is I have a very large class. Every 8 weeks, it's 100+ students, and so it's a sea of people in many respects when I'm lecturing. What I try to do to compensate for that is I have these kind of Friday coffee get-togethers where during the course of the semester, my students are invited to just go to coffee with me, which gives me an opportunity, as well as hopefully them for us to have some kind of communication exchange. And Alex and Ben have come to those, and I've had an opportunity to get to know them on a little bit more of a personal basis. So I've also feel that they have a lot of spirit and passion, and again, was thrilled that they said yes to join me.
Well, Alex, let's start with you. You're from Canton, Michigan. What brought you to the University of Iowa?
I came to the University of Iowa almost to just in search for something more. I've always strived for excellence in education, and I wanted to go to a great school. And not saying that Michigan doesn't have great schools, but I wanted to become independent. I have a twin sister, so I wanted to kind of break away from that and learn how to live on my own. So I came to Iowa, and I'm actually going to be graduating in 2 weeks. So when I saw that David was teaching a course, I thought how fitting. He is also the director of my interdepartmental degree, which doesn't make a lot of sense to most people. It's interdepartmental, but I emphasized a healthcare subject, and that's my true passion is healthcare and anything related to the healthcare field. So using that interdepartmental studies program, I was able to take all types of classes that interested me intrinsically. And when I saw the life design course being offered, I said, what a perfect course to help me transition from a college student to a graduate. Because again, I think the class is more focused on finding your passion, transitioning from a senior in high school to a freshman in college, or even just transitioning from a senior in college and into that career world where it's another huge step and you have to learn what is it that I would like to do. And again, David always says, like, you know, we have these pressures as students, as adults, as children. We all have these pressures, but it's finding what motivates you intrinsically, what that passion is, where's the pathway, where do we go? And one of my favorite quotes that I took on the first day of class, he says, the plan is there is no plan. And it's something to think about. There really is no plan. Follow your dreams. We hear it as children, but follow your dreams. It's really that simple. Listen to your heart, that little voice in your head, and think back to what your parents might have said back in the day, like, you can do anything you want to be.
You know, I've been thinking more about this course as something that you would take at the outset of your college career. Of course, it wasn't available to you at the outset of your college career. But as someone who had come up with a major that really fit what your interests were, why did you decide to take this course in your final semester at school?
Well, the title, life design, who wouldn't take a title of something that said life design? Like, are you going to tell me how to live my life? Please, is there a manual on that yet? But there really is no manual. And it is listening to those little quotes that David throws around in class and makes you think. And again, the plan is there is no plan. Follow the river to where it leads you. They're inspirational quotes. And I think the power is that positive thinking, and people forget that. People forget the emotion. People forget how important communication is in these student organizations, the laboratory outside of the classroom, yet still using what you learn within the classroom as well. I can't say that I didn't work hard as a student, but if I would have known there was more opportunities out there, I would have grabbed them as soon as I could. And now part of me wants to just make my own organization. I don't have to be a student to do it.
Well, Ben, I want to talk to you about your path in just a moment, but I want to take a moment to read this email from Ruth. She says, I majored in chemistry in college, but realized in my junior year that I didn't want a career as a chemist. I finished the degree, though, and by chance landed a job in the chemistry lab in a very large hospital in St. Louis. This exposed me to laboratory medicine, and I realized I was very interested in that field. Long story short, I started medical school 4 years after graduating from college and am now a physician. Bottom line, I agree that you need to follow what interests you, even if you're not sure where it will lead, but you must also be willing to work hard to get there. Also, it's okay if you don't know at 18 or 22 what you want to be when you, quote, grow up. Give yourself a chance and you will figure it out. David, I think that sometimes when we have these conversations about finding your passion and following your passion, maybe there are people who hear that as saying, you know, just have fun, do whatever you want to do. And it shouldn't be something that you have to work very hard for.
Oh, I think just the opposite. I think that one of the reasons why you follow your passions, those things you intrinsically love, because those are the things that when you talk about the hard work that's necessary, those are the things you get lost in. Those are the things you'll stay after work to figure the problem out because you care about it. Those are the things you care about getting right. You know, I asked the students, what do musicians and athletes have in common? And what they have in common is that they show up and they work hard. They practice. Perseverance is a huge factor in success and the ability to work hard. We can shape a lot of that, you know, talent by hard work. So absolutely, I believe that wholeheartedly that hard work is an incredibly important ingredient in, but why not then do it with something you love? That makes the hard work so much easier.
We also have an email from Mark, and it's a long email, so I'm not going to get a chance to read all of it, but he's been through a number of different career incarnations, and he wanted to say that passion is easier to access if we're first allowed to understand we can experiment to find out what our passions might be. And it's important to not focus on finding your passion, but unleashing one's passions as we care and feel significantly about many things. Academia is a challenging place to find passions because too often there's a gap between the class, the drive to certify, and the world students might impact, and faculty is so minimally rewarded and judged for connecting the two. How do you respond to that, David?
Well, I think he's right. But I obviously, from what I've said, you can tell that I'm somebody that cares deeply about trying to connect those students and trying to connect those two worlds.
And I have heard people talk about people who work in academia about the fact that in a research institution, they are rewarded not for the time that they spend in the classroom and not for the amount of energy that they put into work in the classroom. Do you think that that's a problem?
That's certainly true. But what I also add to that is that there are as a campus full of faculty that that to have a young person walk through their doors, you may not know it sometimes by watching them up on a lecture podium, but to have a young person walk through their doors who passionately cares about their subject matter and wants to learn from them, sees them as a role model, they soften very quickly. And I think there's a campus full of those people that really do want to give something back to young people.
I want to turn to you now. Ben Welper is a student from Clear Lake, Iowa. And what year are you at the University of Iowa?
I'm second.
All right. And what's your major?
I'm leaning towards psychology. At first, it was pharmacy. And I walked into a chemistry class and, I mean, looked up at the board and I was just like, no, I can't do this. So right away, I went up and talked to my advisor, and I took a test. And, I mean, psychology was one thing that could be it. So I'm trying that out right now. Otherwise, I'm looking at getting my entrepreneur a certificate, mm-hmm. and hopefully opening my own business. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So I think now I know the answer to this question, but why did you decide that you wanted to take this course?
Well, my advisor told me it'd be a great course. It's a new one, and to just check it out and have fun. And I'm really glad that I listened to her because I've just been having a really fun time. One big thing that I've been getting out of it is have fun, and the money does not matter. I wish I would have, like, listened to one of my teachers back home because she's a great role model. If she happens to be listening, her name is Mrs. Schumacher. And she's went to college, got a 4.0, and, I mean, could have done anything with her life. But she decided to teach and just have fun with kids. So, and she stresses money is not the answer. It's having fun.
So now that you've had a time to reflect on the lesson from Mrs. Schumacher, but also all of the things that you've been learning about in David's class, how does that change how you think about your college career?
I just look at trying to have fun. I look for stuff that would be fun. I do homework or try anyways. But if there's something that's going on that I know will be fun, I shouldn't be telling you guys this, but I will skip class to come. So, I still do work and all that. But I don't know. Just have fun, I'd say. That's what life is about.
Well, that actually... pardon me, jives with a tweet that we just got from Joe Dawson, who says, advice to college students, relax and focus on what you want from a job and how to fulfill your life, less about attaining subjective societal measures like grades, exams, etc. If you learn from classes and incorporate experience into your life, you'll find success after graduation. And, you know, grades are something that college students think about all the time. I know that first resume when you get out of college features your grade point prominently. Pretty much after that, nobody pays any attention to it. But what do you tell students about grades, Dave?
Oh, you know, I try to emphasize, as opposed to grades, I try and emphasize being engaged in your classes and trying your best. It's back to that hard work. I mean, I absolutely believe that students should be engaged in their courses and absolutely believe they should give it their best shot. And if you give it your best shot, the grade is the grade. I've never been too hung up on grades, but I am absolutely about being engaged. If you asked my group of students what they want out of life, their goals, just like Ben and Alex, they'd be a host of different things. But what I actually did it with my classes, I said, well, okay, well, if you take these variety of answers and keep asking the question why. You know, why do you want to be a doctor? Why do you want to be a mother? Why do you want to own your own business? And just keep asking why. You ask it enough and all it will end at a common answer. You want to live a good, rich, happy life. And I think that that's the way we should be approaching our education, really starting at that point and building from there.
Jim is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hello, Jim. Thanks for your patience. Jim, are you there? Oh, maybe he has wandered away from the telephone. Well, sorry about that, Jim, but thanks for your call. So, Alex, let me ask you, now that you are so close to graduation, has taking this course changed your plans for what you're going to be doing when you graduate?
It has not changed my plans per se, but it helps to take the stress off my shoulders to realize that it's okay to fail. What's a failure without a success? You know, you can't have success without failure. David went into a big lecture about how many times you have to fail in order to succeed. And of course, my parents have always told me, you know, the little rubber tree and that ant moving those rubber trees, like he's a strong little ant. No one, everyone's going to doubt him. He might have failed over and over until he moved the rubber tree plant, but we can all do it. We just need a couple failures. And yes, hard work is very important. I hold three jobs. It's not like I'm throwing those off to the sides. I hold three jobs. I go to school full time and I'm following what I love to do. And that's what makes it easy. But it is hard.
David, when Phil was talking about how students need to get out there and ask questions and job shadow and find their own opportunities and take advantage of everything, I was thinking about how hard it is for so many people when they're 18 and 19 years old to get up the courage to ask questions and to get in somebody's face and say, can you give me a little bit of your time? Do you talk to your students about that, about mustering up the courage to put themselves out there?
Well, what I hope the class will do will be a transition to that. Phil is actually going to be speaking to my students tomorrow. He'll be part of a group of young business people that started their own businesses. And my students will hear their stories, hopefully be inspired, have an opportunity to ask questions and dialogue. But also, every single one of these people are, you know, people that they could follow up on. And that's one of the things I hope to do. That's why I bring faculty. That's why I bring people from our community. That's why I bring other students. Yesterday, we had some student organizations that came, Dance Marathon, KRUI Radio Station. The hope is that students who felt some kind of connection, it's one step easier now for them to now participate and seek those people out.
We've been talking mostly about college students today, but there are probably a lot of people listening to this show right now who don't really feel like they're doing what their true calling is in their life, that maybe don't feel happy with their job or where they are in life. What do you say to those people?
Well, number one, I recognize absolutely the economic situation factor in this. I'm not just a touchy-feely, totally ambivalent guy to that notion. I know that we need to pay bills and we need to make rent and we need to put food on the table, and sometimes economics takes care of that. But when you've got that part secure, my thought is that really to live as rich a life as possible, to have the courage to follow some of those passions, to have the courage to take leaps of faith, to try new things is really what life's all about. Why would, if you had a choice, why would you spend 30, 40, 50 years in a profession, 40, 45, 50 hours a day doing something, spending your life on something that you really didn't care about? And that's the bigger question. Again, understanding absolutely the economic situation that many people find themselves in.
David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Alex and Ben, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for inviting us.
Alex Brandt and Ben Welper are students in the Life Design Building Your Future course this semester, and David Gould is the creator of the course. He's also academic coordinator of the Interdepartmental Studies Program at the University of Iowa. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. You can always listen to the show online at iowapublicradio.org, and you can always send us email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow, capturing the beauty of Iowa in photographs.